Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you today. And we give your name the praise that you so rightfully deserve. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for starting us on our way. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us enclosed in our right minds and giving us all the use and activity of our limbs. We bless your name, Lord God, for all of the loving kindness and tender mercies that you have shown us, Lord God, throughout these days. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the source of our strength and you are the strength of our life. And Lord God, we can hold on to your unchanging hand with confidence and with assurance, knowing, Lord God, that you will not fail your people. And Lord God, we give your name the praise on today. In spite of everything that's happening all around the world, in spite of, Lord God, the demonic attacks and influences, Lord God, we know that you are greater and that there's none like you. And Father in heaven, we put everything into your hands. Lord God, we give you, Lord God, our depressions. We give you our oppressions. Lord God, we give you our disappointments. Lord God, we give you, Lord God, all our worries and fears. Lord God, because we know that you can handle, Lord God, what's going on in our life and what's going on in the world. And Lord God, we can say, Lord God, that by faith, we will not be defeated. We will not succumb to the will of the enemy. But Lord God, we will stand strong and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Lord God, we bless your holy name on today. And I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will strengthen us. Lord God, strengthen your people and help us, dear Lord God, to make it through, Heavenly Father, these trying times. But Lord God, we know that goodness will prevail. We know that your justice will prevail. Lord God, we know, Heavenly Father, that you will conquer and not be conquered. But Lord God, by your Spirit, you will prevail. And Lord God, I just thank you today and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, meet the needs of your people. Hear the cries of the oppressed. Lord God, touch those who are broken in their spirit. Help them, Lord God, to recover. Help them, Lord God, to be restored. Help them, Lord God, to be renewed in their mind. Lord God, and not to give up and not to let go. Hallelujah, because by Jesus Christ our Lord, we can make it. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as we come together, Lord God, that you remember, Lord God, every family all over the world, Lord God. Touch one by one and name by name. Lord God, move how you want to move in their life. And Lord God, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord God, hallelujah, to not to be moved by these things that we see. Hallelujah, because God, hallelujah, you're greater than all these things. Oh God, you have more power, Lord God, than the devil. And then Lord God, we're going to put our trust in you on today. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be found acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We certainly bless the Lord on today and just thank God for just being able to come before you once again in spite of all of what we see on today. And there's so many tragedies and and disappointing stories that we're hearing throughout the world. But yet, people of God, we must still praise our Lord because He's good. And the end of the story is victory will prevail. God's power will prevail. God's goodness will prevail. But we must hold on, amen, to His unchanging hand. It can be disheartening and, you know, somewhat bring you somewhat down in your spirit. But we still have to trust in the Almighty God. Because truth be told, He is still sovereign. He is on the throne. And there's nothing that passes by His eyes that He can't handle. So we must put our trust in Him and just believe that through it all, God is going to bring us all out and bring us through, amen, these very trying times. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I greet you in love, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we're going to speak on the subject of the disappearing conscience of humanity. And I believe it will be a word in season because of everything that's happening all around us. And so, just to preface, we learn from Genesis chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, that God created man. He did not evolve from any other creature. And for those who have tried to discredit or refute this basic truth, Jesus expressly declared in Matthew chapter 19 and 4, "Have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" The He that Jesus referred to is God. The reason why the biblical explanation of how man came to be is rejected by some is because they will only accept what logically makes sense. Here they are, people who were created by God themselves, having limited wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, trying to reduce the supernatural workings of God down to human logic. Our God and Creator is all wisdom, all knowledge, and all understanding. It does not matter how educated that you think you are or how many degrees that you may have under your belt. When you stand before God, you are dumb. The creation of man somehow became a controversial subject. But let the record show that there is no controversy or contradiction to what the Bible says. The Bible will always and forever be the authoritative word of God. And whatever He said is forever settled in heaven. God is greater than man. And you cannot bring the workings of God under scientific law. Genesis 1, chapter 26 and 27 reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And just to expound on these scriptures before moving on, firstly, here is where the triunity of God is revealed. He said, "Let us make man." This is the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, conferring with one another. While it is understood that God manifested himself in a threefold personality, there is but one God. 1 John chapter 5 and 7 affirms, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Secondly, after their consultation, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Man was God's crowning creation, and different from all that had been created. Man was not made in the likeness of any creature that was created before him, but in the likeness of his Creator. This image is chiefly found in man's triunity and his moral nature. Man is spirit and soul and body. The spirit is the part of man that knows God and which connects him to the spiritual creation and gives him God consciousness. Therefore, it can be said that there is a part of every man that knows God. The soul is the seat of his emotions, desires, and affections. It is in relation to a person's total self, or the moral and emotional nature of human beings. And also, the heart in scripture usage is often synonymous with the soul. The body is the casing for the spirit and the soul, and susceptible to death. It is the physical part of our being, which before the fall of man was immortal. Nevertheless, as Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but the hope and promise to every believer is that we shall be changed, and this corruptible body shall put on incorruption, and this mortal body will one day put on immortality, and we shall forever be with the Lord. Thirdly, the Lord gave man dominion over all that was created. He was given a higher intelligence to govern inferior creatures. All of the inferior powers were subject to man that God created, and therefore his behavior, thought process, and actions was to resemble God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and not the animals and creepy things which he was given a lower status. So in summation, we were set in a place of authority to govern, not according to our own will, but according to the leading of the Lord. We were given the ability to make intelligent decisions. By design, we are God-conscious beings. And it is the spirit part of man that brings us into the awareness of God's existence. I don't care if you call yourself an atheist. God has a way of showing you how real he is. And some folk waste a lot of time trying to discredit who he is. But you cannot explain away his existence. You cannot explain away all that he created, or even explain how he created it. You cannot explain away how you came to be. As David said in Psalms 14 and 1, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. And the reason why fools try to convince themselves that there is no God is so they can walk according to their own way without feeling any conviction. But let the record show that there was given to every man a conscience. And relative to our subject matter on today, the human conscience is the mental faculty that gives us the ability to appeal to reason. It gives us the ability to weigh our actions and determine in advance if our actions is good or bad. Sometimes we don't follow through on every thought or intention because our conscience gets the best of us. And the proverbial little voice in our head convicts us instantly to prevent us from being subjected to error. So this thing that we have called a conscience is good for us to have because it gives us the ability to sense our own guilt. It gives us the ability to sense what is right or wrong. If we carefully evaluate our thoughts before putting them into action and let our conscience be our guide, we would spare ourselves from guilt and condemnation. And just to be clear, the conscience is not the voice of God, but it is a human faculty that he can use as a steering mechanism. Based on the mindset of humanity across the globe, it is evident that so many have lost their moral compass with no steering mechanism in place. The one thing that can be attributed to social media and other sources of technology is that it has brought the world closer together in a sense. And it allows us to see how far humanity has fallen, the expansion of evil in the earth, and the vast control that Satan has over the minds of men everywhere. Every day we wake up to a new revelation of evil, and it is waxing worse and worse. And just when you thought that the enemy could not top what he did the day before, he finds someone else to deceive and bring under his control and then use them to carry out horrific, unspeakable acts even greater than before. What we are witnessing today is the disappearing conscience of humanity. Millions of people that do not mind the things of God or choose to ignore the voice of God. Instead of appealing to wisdom or that which is good, some folk choose to mute their own conscience, ignore all the warning signs, and follow evil. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 declares, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 and 2a says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. In dealing first with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 1, it predicts the moral degeneration of society in the last days. The reason given for man's depravity is provided in verse 2a, giving us to know that men shall become lovers of their own selves, which is inclusive of every corrupt manner that follows. We can all bear witness that this word of prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. The world is full of people that are no longer following the voice of reason. People who were once regarded as people of integrity are no longer walking in integrity because they are lovers of themselves. They have rejected the authority of the scriptures. The Bible gives us to know that in times like these, the character of men will be marked by self-will, self-aggrandizement, self-importance, which will then lead to self-destruction. There are multitudes of people that are without the fear of the Lord. They have no government of themselves and no rule over their own spirit. This makes it easy for a person to just wake up one day and say, I want to commit mass murder and think nothing of it. To lie, cheat, and steal and think nothing of it. When the conscience of man disappears, he becomes a creature without natural affection, and his thoughts and behavior transforms from human to inhumane. So here we are, saints of God. And if you don't know it by now, I will remind you that it is time to pray. Now, when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we have here a prophecy of the apostasy of the latter times. This is where the spotlight is turned on Christians. And sometimes ministers of the gospel call out the people who are of the world for their irrational behavior. But in scripture, we understand that in the latter days, some Christians will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Spirit spoke expressly concerning the apostasy from the faith. The lawlessness in the world would not only increase, but the mindset and behavior of Christians will also change in the latter days. In this crucial hour, there is a great falling away of the saints. Some turned away and once again are enslaved by sin and entangled with the yoke of bondage. As written in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Some have departed from the doctrine that was delivered to the saints, giving heed to the doctrine of demons and following heresies. They also have become heretics who have created their own doctrines and openly rejected the authority of the scriptures. There is a generation of Bible scholars who, like Paul, was taught by the best, and they received the word of God in purity and in simplicity. Now that they have a little bit of knowledge, they became puffed up and decided to circle back and question everything that they've been taught. As a result, they have reasoned themselves out of the truth, and so the wise have become a fool. Saints that used to be staunch advocates for the gospel of the kingdom are joining in confederacy with the devil in trying to tear down the kingdom of God. There are people whose conscience is seared, and God has turned them over to a reprobate mind so that they can continue in their own way, and their destination is hell. The apostle was taught by the Holy Ghost. He did not confer with flesh and blood, but he was given the full revelation of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he held on to it. But unlike Paul, people are changing their views and position, and they that were taught or given revelation by the Holy Ghost are changing the truth that he revealed to them or gave them into a lie. And this is blasphemous. And blasphemy comes with a heavy penalty. So woe unto them who are distorting the truth. This word comes to encourage the remnant that is holding on. Don't change. Don't shift. Don't depart from the faith. There is such a great falling away. But as the scripture says in Jude, ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. People of God, this world is in trouble. And we see with our own eyes that so many have gone away backward. But as saints of God who were reared up in the truth, we know better. Amen. The Holy Ghost revealed to us the truth of the word of God, and that which he's given us, don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it, but you stand firm and stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In conclusion, prayer is still the order of the day. We see the disappearing conscience of humanity, which means more of what we have been experiencing since the start of the year, and even in previous years, will continue to escalate. We are still in January, y'all, and there have been 39 mass shootings in 2023 to date. And going forward, I'm sure it will continue. Mass murders are still happening at the hands of evil dictators around the world. So So many people around the world are being mistreated by their fellow man. It is time for the saints that are holding on to step up to the plate. Let us not become part of the problem, but be a part of the solution. We must walk in obedience to God's word. Never mind what the world has to say. Never mind what heretics has to say. Never mind what the politicians have to say. We cannot afford at this late hour to mute our conscience or shut our ears to God's voice and fall into condemnation. We must not only pray for everything that's going on around us, but remember to pray for ourselves and stay under the blood. Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word." And our prayer today should be, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." Amen. Stay with God. Stay with God. I want you to be encouraged and stay with God. Yes, we see some heartbreaking things. Stay with God. Yes, it brings tears to your eyes, but stay with God. He will uphold you. He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. Just stay with God. Don't yield. Don't give in to the enemy's devices. Stay with God. Hallelujah. And let the peace of God, which pass all understanding, guard your heart and mind. Grace and peace be with you all. Amen. Amen. And amen.